Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy wherever they get their podcasts.
Delivering all the news, the informed views, and just telling great motorsport stories since 2003. Powered by theracetalk.com. This is On The Grid.
G'day everyone and welcome to another episode of On The Grid here on mypodcasthouse.com or on the Radio Show Limited's RS1. Thank you for joining us. A big show coming your way. We're going to be speaking to Juan Carlo Fisichella. He'll be answering a few questions ahead of his S5000 drive at Adelaide coming up in just a couple of weeks' time. Of course, the former Formula One driver. And we apologise for being a little bit late today as well, or this week with our podcast. We had to wait a day because the Supercars calendar has been announced and Mark Walker, Richard Crowell and myself will dissect that a little bit later on in the show as well. All that to come right here on The Grid.
You're listening to the latest from around the motorsport world. On The Grid.
First of all, though, let's kick it off by going to Richard Crowell, who's going to catch up with a former Formula One star who's going to find himself back in Australia in just a couple of weeks' time. Krause, g'day to you.
Shebex, a highlight of the upcoming Velo Adelaide 500 will be the return to Australia of Formula One star Giancarlo Fisichella. Now 49, the Italian driver started 231 Grands Prix between 1996, from his debut in Melbourne, to the 2009 Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, his final race while driving for Ferrari. Fisichella won three races, Brazil in 2003, Australia 05, and the 2006 Malaysian Grand Prix. Four pole positions, 19 podiums, and 275 points mean that he was a successful driver in a long-standing career. He comes back to Australia to race in S5000. He'll drive a Team BRM car, and this will be something of a completing of the job mission for Fissy, who raced at Albert Park in 2020, but when the event was shut down, never got to turn a racing lap in anger. A group of Australian motorsport media caught up with the Italian driver earlier this week to get his thoughts on coming back to Australia, making his debut in Adelaide, and his thoughts about returning to S5000. Here's some excerpts of what Giancarlo had to say about racing at the Velo Adelaide 500 in S5000.
You know, it's great. Looking forward for this race. Coming back to Australia, it's amazing for me because I did my debut in 1996 in Melbourne, but especially I won in 2005 with Renault. It's a fantastic circuit. It was a fantastic atmosphere. Got a great memories over there. So coming back in a new circuit in Adelaide, street circuit, it's great. I never been there, so it's gonna be a bit tough to learn the circuit, having short time to learn the car. But I will do my best. I try to do the best results as possible. Well, I saw a couple of onboard camera, and it looks a tough circuit, very difficult circuit, you know, especially the first breaking point with a very tight chicane, and then there are a couple of very quick corners and next to the wall. So it's a kind of strict circuit. But it's a fantastic circuit. I think it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be tough. I have short time to to learn the circuit. I think once I will familiarize with the circuit, it will be okay. Yeah, I did one test. I don't remember in which circuit it was. And then I was in the race weekend in Melbourne. We did the free practice, and then we went to the qualifying session. The car was good. There is a lot of power. It's nice to drive the car. It's the grip level, the downforce is not a lot, but it's a funny car, and it's quite you know, you need to drive this car like a go-kart, but there is a lot of power. This is a very, very difficult to you know, to manage it. But I really enjoy the car. I really love this country and the atmosphere. There are a lot of nice places. The weather is fantastic as always. There are a lot of Italian people over there. Yeah, it's one of my favorite places to go. I come over there to win, you know, as always. But I know it's going to be very difficult. There are a lot of very, very good drivers, very good teams around, and it's going to be very tough. You know, I will try my best. I want to win, but it's quite difficult. It would be nice to get on the podium for sure. You know, I'm still racing in a WEC, in the World Endurance Championship. I am still a Ferrari factory driver in the Competizione GT, and I'm still enjoying myself racing. Sometimes I win, so it's next January I will be 50. I still want to race, and I love it. It's my life to go always F1 circuit, try to be the quickest, and until I feel this spirit, I will continue. Then one day when it's time to stop, we will see. But so far, I'm still enjoying, and I'm sure there are a lot of people around there, a lot of fans. I will try to do my best, and will be. For sure, a fantastic weekend watching all the categories around there, and I hope to find a good weather, and I hope to score a good result. I mean, I know not far away from the circuit there are a very good Baynard, so if there is a possibility to go up to the mountains to find some good Baynard, would be nice. But I know it's Australia. It's a fantastic place. There are a lot of very good restaurants and a lot of very good stuff.
There's more great motorsport stories coming next on The Grid.
All right, joining me for a chat about what's happening in the world of motorsport. First of all, let me say g'day to Richard Crowell personally. I did say at the start of the Giancarlo Fisichella interview, I threw to you, but now I'll say g'day personally.
Thank you, Tony.
Hi, Richard.
Hello. Let's get the elephant out of the room first.
Mark, could you please go? Thank you.
I've been blighted by, I can't believe it's not COVID. It's not, believe it or not, but I apologize in advance for my nasal soundingness in this particular episode of On The Grid. I'm very sorry.
So it's a severe sinus infection that has struck our friend down over there in Adelaide, and we wish you all the best in your recovery, mate.
Yeah, look, it hasn't been pleasant, but I could give you all the gory details, but I won't do that. I was just glad that there was a cricket match that no one watched on Tuesday, because what it did was allow me to lie on the couch feeling sorry for myself, but actually have something to watch.
Can I give you a very good stat on that? There was actually more people at the Melbourne Aces versus Perth game on Saturday night than there was at the MCG.
Go baseball. How good.
Yes.
Yeah, so anyway, and for those that are wondering why you're getting on the grid on a Thursday and not on a Wednesday as usual, it's because that we actually knew that news was coming and we delayed it because we didn't want to give you a half-assed episode without a supercars calendar. So that's why we're a little bit late.
Yes, Mark Walker, hello to you.
Hello, Tony Shebeki, Richard Crail. So many of the news sites these days pull their news stories from podcasts. I'm waiting for the headlines tomorrow. Crail in strife, issues, drama in commentary land.
I don't think anyone gives a shit, but okay. We'll see. Oh. We'll see.
Ticket sales at Phillip Island have just dropped. I know that.
Well, mate, they're not. If they're paying money to see me there, they've got the wrong motivation.
So you're right, guys. We are here, and the calendar is out. So we'll spend a bit of time just sort of having a look at it. There's a couple of major changes to 2023 compared to 2022 and years of the past. First of all, just overall impression without sort of picking anything specific, but overall impression.
It's I think pretty much what they wanted. They were fairly clear about going to 12 rounds again. So it's the lowest number of rounds, I think, since 2008 in a supercars calendar, which is interesting. But the spacing is reasonable. There's still a few holes, but I quite like the pacing of it throughout the course of the year. So that I think that's a good thing. The highlights for mine, the return of Newcastle is going to be outstanding. That's such a cool event and a really sketchy racetrack, which I love. And a city that surprised us the first time we went there for how much fun it was to go and visit. So I'm really looking forward to that. It just gives so much positivity to the season starting at a big event like that. And it was such a downer. It was a downer starting the way we have the last couple of years for COVID reasons and this year as well at Sydney Motorsport Park, but it just lacks that massive whack in the face you get for launching at an event like the Adelaide 500. So Adelaide moves to the end of the year to start at Newcastle is the absolute perfect place to do it. There's no other event that I would prefer to be opening the season than that. So that's a big tick. Interesting that they're not going to do night racing in Perth. They've come out and said that Sydney will be the debut of Gen 3 under lights, so that's interesting. July date for that round probably works because Sydney's winter weather is traditionally pretty good. This year was probably the exception, but same could be said for everywhere. So you get those nice crisp mornings, clear days. It will get pretty frosty at nighttime there, but probably a reasonable date for that. The Bend back, certainly off the back of there not being in New Zealand, which is probably the biggest omission from the calendar in my books. Sandown 500 back is good. And then the end of the year, I mean, you end with Bathurst, Gold Coast and Adelaide within the space of, 8 weeks, I think, in the end, just over 8 weeks. That's a pretty powerful way to bring the season home. So overall, if you want 12 rounds, the only addition to that calendar you'd probably desperately want is for there to be New Zealand in that, probably minus a the Bend, to be perfectly honest, as much as I like going there. But decent. Glad they've got it out. Clearly took longer than anybody wanted with the delays in getting New Zealand sorted and the hope of going to Singapore, which hasn't come off. So clearly room for improvement moving forward.
Would you swap the Bend for New Zealand?
To be brutally honest, probably. We have to go to New Zealand. It's too big a market to not go there.
So they say it's still on the cards for 2024 and they'll work on it next year to get that up and running. I worry, though, that once something like that drops off, it's going to be harder to bring back than it is to keep.
I think the market's big enough for it to do it. I think that'll be fine. So the key tenets that supercars have to continue to be, right? They have to be fully national. So we're still the only sport that goes to every state and every territory bar the ACT.
Yep.
So they have to maintain that. They have to keep WA. They have to keep Tasmania. That's vitally important. And we are a trans-Tasman sport. It's dominated by Kiwis, long Kiwi history. We've got to keep going there. So they're the two absolute key tenets that the series needs to maintain in my eyes. And they're missing one of them with New Zealand not getting off the ground for whatever reason that was.
Back in one of the lockdowns, I did a story on the Race Talk looking at all the tracks that have come and gone off the calendar over the years, and there have been a lot that have come and gone, various stages, been dropped off, been put back on. You look at Sydney Motorsport Park, how many times it's been on and off the calendar. So I don't think that's a problem, them missing out, especially in this last few years where we've had so many races skip for a year or whatnot, and they've all sort of reappeared. You know, you look at Adelaide Exhibit A, it was absolutely gone for all money and now it's back. So anything is absolutely possible. And I think where there's a will, there's a way, and they'll figure out the financials over there in New Zealand and make it work at a circuit that isn't Pukekohe because it's getting a bulldozer. I really like 2012 calendar when there were 15 events. I'm a motorsport fan and I like seeing cars go around the racetrack. So I like more the merrier. It's a shame that we're not going to Winton. you know, you talk about heartland sort of events, it had a massive following. You know, the number of campers there, the number of people that would go to that event was huge. Like for where it was and what it was, you'd always get a great crowd up to Winton. It's a shame that we're not going to Queensland Raceway. Like Quinny's put a fair bit in to bring that joint up to spec, and there's a following up there at QR. They always got a crowd there at QR. So it's a shame that we don't have more events on the calendar that we could slot these in. So obviously, supercars have their reasons for doing things, their mathematics and their finance and their TV deals work out at 12 events, and that's how many events they're doing. We got lucky this year that they shoehorned an extra one onto the calendar at the last minute when, you know, New Zealand became a thing that could happen. I just hope that they do expand the calendar back out in future years and get some more events happening out there for the punters.
You're right. It's a bit of a kick in the guts for Victoria, the fact that we've got Sandown as our major event. Sure, there's the Grand Prix, but the Grand Prix is going to happen anyway. So let's not say that's Victoria. That's just the Grand Prix. So Sandown being the only event in Victoria, in a state that has three fairly decent permanent circuits.
Yeah, well, and that brings me to the point. So we're likely to have shorter races at the Grand Prix, I say we being supercars, next year. What needs what more? Does the Grand Prix need supercars, or does supercars need the Grand Prix? So for mine, out of all of those events on that calendar, so let's say you're sticking with 12, do you drop the Grand Prix? Now, I know the teams love it from a corporate point of view and from a visibility point of view, it's big, but do you get rid of that? Is it preferable for the sport to get rid of that and go to Winton for that regional thing, or to go outside of Victoria and go to Queensland Raceway or something like that? That would be my question, because there's got to be a point where with Formula 2 and Formula 3 coming to Albert Park, that the value proposition of rocking up there for four, what might be 75K races now, I'd say 30-minute races, maybe.
That's about 10, 12 laps each race.
The value proposition of that starts, or the lack of value starts overriding the value they get for being at that event and running in front of the crowd and having the TV and having the corporate side of things. So, you know, it seems mad, but I'd almost, if I was in Supercars HQ, I'd almost look at that and go, do you know what? There might be more value for our business in doing an event somewhere else where we can make more money, where we could attract more of our hardcore fans as a standalone thing than playing what is going to be third or fourth fiddle at the Grand Prix.
That's exactly it. Someone in the ivory tower there is going to knows exactly how much money they get paid to lob up to the Grand Prix, and they know exactly the maths at every other event, and I'm sure they've derived a calendar that's going to give them their best business case this season for whatever it's worth to tickle those boxes of going to all the different corners of Australia. You know, obviously, you know, you look at the ones that are close together, it's probably the Bend and Adelaide that geographically they're quite close together. Obviously, Grand Prix, Sandown are close together, but Queensland Raceway, you can say that's in a similar sort of catchment to the Gold Coast. Winton's in the middle of nowhere, really, isn't it? Mm. I don't know what tangent I've just gone down, but...
geographically, sure. I think so that the Bend and Adelaide thing, you know, the Bend's an hour and 10 minutes away from Adelaide, but that's considered regional. So that's the regional. And honestly, they need to now go hard on that event as the regional round. So everyone that's in South Australia thinks Tail and Bend...
Because it is.
Well, it is. Because everyone in South Australia thinks Tail and Bend is in the country, right? Which it is. But it's only an hour and 10 from the city. Like, you drive that far in Melbourne and you're still in the suburbs. So they need to go hard, and they need to promote into that heartland core in Victoria where it's a 4 or 5 hour drive away and you can drive there and go to that event and camp and do whatever. So I think from a geographic mix, it's all right. The Brisbane thing, sure, you'd love to go to QR to tap into that market, but you've got the Gold Coast, which is an hour down the highway. Big metro area. You've got North Queensland covered with Townsville. That's good. Darwin. The regional thing I still think needs something. And that it's that border area between New South Wales and Victoria. I think that's your absolute key. So, you know, ironically, Wakefield Park or something in Albury-Wodonga, you know, bring back Hume Weir. that's probably where your next big market is, because there's 400,000 or 500,000 people within 3 hours drive of that region that you could tap into to put on a really promising event.
Okay, so let's have a look at the weather here for weather forecast long range for 2023 Repco Supercars Championship. Newcastle, it's going to be as hot as Adelaide, but it'll also be humid, so that's going to be a delight. Can't wait for that. Grand Prix is going to be Grand Prix. End of April for Perth's fine. 21st of May for Tasmania, it might snow, so that'll be something different, a bit of snow into the mix. Obviously, the northern swing through Darwin and Townsville is going to be the exact same weather that we've had there for the last 20 years. Sydney, end of July. Yeah, we could have some more rain under lights like we did this year. That was fun. The Bend, end of August. Well, it could, what do you reckon? A bit of sideways rain there. That'll be fun again.
Usually. But you can't judge weather based on the last year because it's just been rooted everywhere.
It'll definitely rain at Sandown, though. I can guarantee you that. And the rest.
But if you're building a calendar on weather, you're stuffed, but because
they do though.
But the only weather they factor it on is going north in winter, which is sensible. Yeah. But if you give every round their ideal date, you'd have 12 rounds in January, February, March, April, and then you do nothing. You go up north in June and July, and then you do nothing again until September, October, November. So some rounds are going to lose with weather. It's the way it is, but it's how you make the most of that. Winton did a really good job of talking up the fact they were the winter round. Mm. They gave snowboards to the winners. They encouraged people to build campfires with their campsites. Like they sold that as the winter round. That was fantastic. Really good. In the same way that they sell the Gold Coast as the surfer round with the surfboard. So it's down to being imaginative in your promotion and your marketing as much as it is what the weather is. If you do a good job of selling it, people should still turn up for the most part.
It was always handy back in the day when they'd do Darwin, Townsville, then they'd do QR sort of end of July, start of August, and the weather was always pretty decent for that. Then they'd go to Sydney Motorsport Park after that, and the weather was okay there sort of thing. So they'd sort of knock over those four in that sort of order, and it just seemed to click when they used to do that back in the day.
Mark, I'll ask you this question due to conflict of interest for our friend down there. There seemed to be a clash of dates at Sandown for supercars and also the ARG promoted speed series. That seems to have been fixed, though. Supercars won.
In their favour. It seems like Barry and Gary Rogers should have a stern word with Barry and Gary Rogers about their two entities stealing events of each other, causing each other angst, which is a bit of a problem. As a race fan, I don't mind it as an outcome, having the Sandown 500 as the September lead-in a few weeks before the Bathurst 1000. I think that makes a reasonable amount of sense. Obviously, I'm not the ARG and I just didn't have a round pulled out from under me. If I was the ARG and I've just been shafted by Sandown, I'd tell them to get stuffed and I'm going to have a round over at Calder.
Yeah, well, that's up to that. Running, isn't it?
But the whole thing with that ARG thing, and this is just Mark Walker speaking and no one else, they go to the same venues, the same everything as supercars. If they went to some of these other places, they'd have a point of difference. They'd have something that they could sort of...
Well, like we went to Queensland Raceway this year.
100%. Do that. Go to Malala. Remember when Michael Clementi had his TCR car around Malala under lights?
Oh, I'm working on that.
Sort of stuff needs to happen.
Well, I agree. And look, speaking not with my ARG hat on, but it will be assumed that it is, that's fine. I think there's opportunity there to do that for sure. So Queensland Raceway this year was enormous. There was a huge, 100%. Legitimate crowd because it's the biggest national level event they've got. So, and I know for a fact that the whole idea of Motorsport Australia and ARG getting into bed to promote Speed Series together next year will help build that.
Yeah.
And that's great. So the opportunity now, look, I'm absolutely just talking as R. Krull here, and there is no indication that this will happen or not. But if I was Winton and I got left off the calendar, do you know the first people I would ring would be MA and ARG and go, hey, we've got this weekend, we've got a tradition here, we've got a camping database of 2,500, 3,000 people, we've got all of this stuff, why don't we do something? And that would be great, but it needs a promoter willing to have a crack. So if that's the Benalla Auto Club, then fantastic. So, and that's what we saw at Queensland Raceway this year, is that the track did a really good job in marketing that event and making sure it was accessible and getting the word out about it. So maybe these racetracks that don't have a supercar round, that's where you go and build something different. But it's up to the promoters to do that, because otherwise, and completely understandably and justifiably, it's up to the management of the categories to get the best calendar they can and the best financial deal they can. 100%, they have to run them as a business because it's a really expensive game. So from a category point of view and a series point of view, they need to do the best deals they can to underwrite the cost of going car racing, both the series and the calendar. So if you're a promoter, you might need to invest some money, but the payoff could be that it becomes your biggest event of the year.
Do you do a deal with Quinny and get QR and a New Zealand round up for Speed Series?
Oh, well, I think New Zealand's probably a little bit optimistic, but that QR event is fantastic. And it's only going to get bigger as the Speed Series continues to grow and develop and more people pay attention to it.
I just hope that the Speed Series don't turn around and go, all right, we'll take the week before at Sandown or the week after or whatever, because they're not going to win. Optics-wise, they're not going to win from that. And you're not going to get, you know, the casual punter, it's hard for them to get away for two weekends in a row in September to the race problem is, at Sandown.
Where else do you go?
Yeah, but the advantage you do have is that it is a city track in Sandown, so it's not too hard for people to get to Sandown over two weekends. It would be different if it was a Winton or something like that, where you had consecutive weekends to try and get to that, or Phillip Island.
And
Sandown being in the city is not too bad.
And look, the other thing is, as much as you want attendance, it's not, those events aren't geared towards having massive crowds. So if you have to cop a weekend where not many people turn up, the Speed Series can do that much better than supercars can, because it's not geared towards a paying spectator product. It's geared more towards a TV product and a user pays, competitor pays system as a business model. But
and it's funny you say that, though, because if you have a look at the TV schedule for free-to-air, Sandown isn't one of those Channel 7 events, which is surprising because there's no footy on that weekend. Footy finals are run Friday night, Saturday night, and the second and third week of finals. So Sunday's a free event. I would have thought you would have had the Enduro on Channel 7.
Well, that's a Channel 7 decision, though.
No, so I totally understand that. It's a strange decision to me.
Yeah, but there's benefits commercially. So you know all the events they're showing. So they show Bathurst, obviously.
Yep.
All the other events are government-funded events. Yep. So from a commercial point of view, for a network to go to Tourism Queensland, Tourism Northern Territory, Tourism SA, et cetera, to hit them up for some advertising in the broadcast is much more lucrative than going to the Dandenong City Council and saying, hey, why don't you run an ad for Springvale Road in our coverage of the Sandown 500?
The local nuclear waste dump.
Springfield Tie Fire. Yeah, so. But that's, and look, from a supercar point of view as well, they want their government-backed events to be on the most eyeballs.
Before the people are dandy on lynch me, I love Sandown. I live just down the road. It's 100%.
Absolutely. I'd race there 10 times a year if I could. But we'd never have enough Armco to keep up with the repairs.
So Darwin and Townsville have pretty much cemented those dates in the calendar for the next God knows how long.
Yeah, as long as we go car racing.
Until they have winter school holidays in Queensland and they're racing past the school, that Townsville date, you can set your watch to that one.
Yeah, same for Darwin. It just makes the most sense. That's the perfect time of year to have it. We talked about this earlier in the year, that the I still think there needs to be more done for, and looking at this calendar, the two are Perth and Tassie. So you may as well be going to another country for both of them. Yeah. And if in Europe, if you go from Sydney to Perth there, you're in the bloody Czech Republic driving from London that same distance. So I still think those events lack being just a super sprint. So well, from a TV point of view, fine. Perth had the point of difference as being a night race this year, which was great. I still think those two events need to be something a little bit more than just a sprint round.
They might have shown their hand a little bit, Richard, because all dates now for all 12 events are three-day events. So the two-day, the Saturday-Sunday weekend, which traditionally was...
But they're just the dates that blocked out. Like, we don't know the formats. Yeah. They haven't talked formats yet, but the super sprint is next to their name. So I just think, like, you know, Darwin gets a slightly different format. I still think they need to do something with those two events to make them a better value proposition for the punters paying to go. That's their one opportunity a year to see supercars. It's not like they can pop across the border. Like in, you know, if you're in Melbourne and you want to go to the Bend, it's a 7-hour drive. But if you're in Perth, you can't just pop across the road to go, pop up the road to go to, you know, Tail and Bend, or, you know, if you're in Melbourne, drive 7 or 8 hours and go to Bathurst. It's not that easy. And it's the same for Tasmania. So I'd still like to see those two events become more than what they are.
But then
and
if
I'm not talking enduro, but yeah, you know, longer races, different formats, whatever.
You make them special in inverted commas. The only two non-special in inverted commas events you'd have left would be City Motorsport Park and the Bend.
But that's fine because those two events stand on their own anyway. So the Bend being this regional round and its own thing that they promote themselves, which is great, and Sydney being the night race. So that's fine.
Hmm.
But it's just every event's got to have a USP. And you're taking night racing away from Perth, and now it's just a sprint round. It's three quick races that everyone has to drive 3,500 k's to get to.
Is this where the innovation of bringing back the retro round for Sandown, is it like having having a touring car festival at say Perth is they're having the Super 2s and Super 3s. You have the undercard as historic touring cars and Group A's and Group C's and all that sort of stuff, and you have a touring car festival or something. Having some innovation like that, I'd love to see that because it's all just so copy and paste and repeat for every single event on the calendar, isn't it? I mean, all championships around the world are a bit like that. You know, Formula One's the exact, you know, you can set your watch to the weekend timetable there when you're making the TV guide. You just copy from one weekend to the next. They're exactly the same format. So
you look at the last five rounds of next year. So you go the Bend sprint racing, Sandown 500, two-driver 500K race, Bathurst 1,000-kilometer two-driver race, and then two 250K races at Gold Coast and Adelaide, but they're epic events and they're huge and they're demanding street circuits. So all five of those have got something completely different that completely stand on their own and be remarkable. I agree with you 100%. But go to Perth and do something different, like throw a reverse top 10 in or throw short sprint races, speedway style, or I don't know. Like, this is why people get paid big bucks to market this stuff. But I just think for those markets, though, when you're trying to sell to a Perth crowd, who their only shot to see supercars for a year is to get three 45-minute races, that just feels like a bit of a cop-out. Mm. And for the teams going that far, it's a lot of expense to go there just to do a couple of sprint races. So I feel like they should be offering more value for those events in particular, based purely on the fact that they're isolated and they're remote and difficult events to go to.
Perth will get Super 2s as one of these support events. We know that. Newcastle, Perth, Townsville, Sandown, Bathurst and Adelaide.
It's a decent calendar, isn't
it? Yeah, not bad at all. There's a couple of gaps of around about 6 to 8 weeks in between weeks 2 and 3. And then between weeks 3 and 4, but otherwise there's probably a race nearly every month.
Yep. There's not much to say. It's they go where the supercars go, and they can pick good events to be at and to give them the best value and the best TV. So yep, that works.
Yeah, it certainly does. It'll be interesting to see when they do start to announce other categories, I suppose, as their support events. Of course, Porsche will be at the majority of the same events, won't they? As they have been in the past, that really won't change for them.
I can neither confirm nor deny the.
No, but Cup you would think that they generally get to the best events, which is great.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, absolutely.
And speaking of Richard Crail, what does Richard Crail think about it?
which has nothing to do with anything. That'll be good. I mean, they're going to be at 8 of the 12 rounds, so they only miss 4. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to work out which ones they are, and I can tell you they're not starting at Newcastle. So, it'll be interesting now. And look, because it's been so late, like it's November the 23rd, as we talk, that they've come out with this, that everyone's been sitting on their hands waiting for this to happen. So the only two categories before this that had everything locked in were TCR and Trans Am, because they're committed to the full speed series calendar. Outside of that, everything has been in fluid motion to see where they land. So it'll be a rush from here on in. You'll get a calendar announcement in your inbox every day of the week.
Yeah. Yeah, and we did get what was the Victorian State Racing Series?
The VMRC, which is the other Victorian State Series.
So they've announced 6 rounds, I think. Was it 5 in Winton and 1 at Cawler?
Everyone's going to Cawler next year.
Tell you what, it's a good place to be.
I'm genuinely looking forward to car racing going back there.
Yeah, I'm stoked just to go and take photos at a different bloody race. Yes, I'm so sick of these old ones.
It's a good problem to have.
Can we expect that Cawler could become a supercars venue again down the track if it
If you're not going to Phillip Island, why are you going to Cawler?
Well, Cawler's probably 200 grand cheaper.
And closer to the city again.
I can't see it being there, but could a speed series go there? Absolutely.
For sure.
Totally. TCR around there would be sick.
Yeah, they'd carve some things up, wouldn't they? It'd be good fun. Actually, Trans Am would be fun around there.
Sensational.
Yeah. Mm.
Brilliant.
Do it.
All right. Anything else in supercars we need to chat about?
Cameron Hill.
Yeah.
Locked in, as everyone knew, so that's great. I think it's a good signing. He's a ripper bloke, very good race car driver, very adaptable. He brings with him a whole range of skills from team management and engineering that I think will benefit Matt Stone Racing as well, to be honest with you. So I like his signing. I think he's a very good get. It seems odd that Declan Fraser doesn't get a drive yet, anyway, that we know of. But I'm very happy for Cameron, having worked closely with him in Porsche Carrera Cup and right throughout the junior category. So I think that's a really good signing. Well done.
I think the good thing for Cameron too, and for other people, is that Cameron will still be fairly heavily involved, I would assume, in his his racing enterprises, which of course form some Porsche cars, Formula Ford and the like. So he'll still be very heavily involved there, which would be great for those kids to be mentored by a supercar driver.
Oh, and I'm possibly open links to get them into MSR as well. Who knows? Like, it could work very, very well for all parties.
Yeah, certainly could. Let's turn our attention to F1. They've had a bit of post-season testing.
Well, the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix was on late Sunday night. It was quite a good car race in the end. Maxi drove off out in front and won, but behind that there was lots of overtaking. I think almost double the amount of overtaking in this year's race than last year's, which was a good vote for the new rules. Pretty entertaining Grand Prix, bit going on, some good battles. Entertaining stuff. But yeah, nice to see young Oscar finally get behind the wheel of a car in testing at Abu Dhabi and get some laps in that McLaren. So that's a cool thing. And the countdown to Albert Park and his Australian debut, anyway, starts from now.
So a highlight for mine is the revelation of the Daniel3.jpg Instagram account. Himself and Lando have cameras, have nice cameras, and they go and take nice photos of behind-the-scenes stuff, and it's hilarious. Go and check it out on Insta. It's good value. Insta is one of those platforms that's still running, isn't it? It's Twitter that's in a bit of strife.
Just a bit. Just a little bit. We should also mention, too, just before that Superbikes are back on the calendar, too, with Supercars at Darwin, which is great.
I thought it was going to be more events. I mean, they've obviously just announced that one today, but I thought there was going to be more on the table.
I'd understood that Sydney was a lock for that as well. So I wonder if we see them pop up at Sydney Motorsport Park, too, which is a good two-wheel circuit.
Yeah, just on Superbikes, they've got their final round at the Bend this weekend, and once again, great to see the support that they get from their wild cards, including one Mr. Jack Miller, who rides again from MotoGP, fifth in the championship this year, to ride on the Australian Superbike round. It's fantastic.
They've sold some tickets to that too, Shebex, as I understand, which is great. So full kudos to ASBK and the Ben for building that event up and investing in bringing Jack Miller down. It's great.
Yeah. Any US news we need to know about, Mark?
Not that I'm aware of.
Cool. Let's get into it.
It's one of those things where they have 37 race weekends a year, and we're in not one of them at the moment. So ask me again next week.
Then let's turn our attention to our Doric Hot and Knots. Our power rankings here are our weekly thing. Well, I've just gone with my hot, and my hot is Superbike Round this year, and the fact that it does get the support of Jack Miller at that event. That's an amazing thing for Jack to do. He doesn't have to do it, but he does, and he does it because he supports the category and he's got mates in there, and I think it's just great that these guys can come back from overseas and do a round like that, and hopefully we get to see that with motor racing at times as well.
Probably gets a nice check on the side as well.
I'm sure he does, but good on him. He doesn't have to do it.
Yeah, true.
Do you reckon he needs a check? I wouldn't have thought
probably
so.
Probably not. I think he does all right, Jack, for sure. My hot is the Porsche Michelin Sprint Challenge finale this weekend at Phillip Island Grand Prix Circuit at Island Magic. So 31 cars entered, which is a record for the championship. All three classes will go down to the wire from a championship point of view, which is outstanding. And young Thomas Sargent and Ryan Wood battling it out for the outright crown this weekend. They have been exceptional this year, both on and off the track. I've been so impressed with both young kids with the way they're going. And the best thing for both of them is that they're locked in with whatever happens. So Ryan's going to Carrera Cup next year with Alabama Motorsport. He's got the Porsche New Zealand scholarship. And Tom Sargent's off to the States with McElroy Racing, which is awesome. So it'll be gloves off. I think those two at Phillip Island will be pretty fun to watch. Like, they're the two kids that they'll go side by side through the hay shed banging doors. They're that fast and capable. So I think it's going to be a great show. Pro-Am fight up for grabs. And the Class B fight, even between three drivers going out for it this weekend. So keep your eye on that. Blendline TV will have a live stream of all of that on Saturday and then the rest of Island Magic on Sunday with a bonus hot for my good mate Tim Macro, who has been slowly but surely cajoling a bunch of open wheel competitors to get together to create Formula Open. And they're going to end up with 26 cars, mixture of Formula 3 cars, F4, Toyota Racing Series, and so on. This weekend at Island Magic for that category's official debut, and they're looking at a 6-round championship next year. So well done to Tim. Great job by him in putting that all together, and looking forward to seeing that. A big field of Wings and Slicks race cars at the best Wings and Slicks racetrack in the country.
I saw two rounds of a similar type thing up in New South Wales at Sydney Motorsport Park as part of their state series. It's great stuff. Good on you, Tim. Well done.
Right, so a couple of hots from me. First of all, Ferrari strategy. They did it. They finally did it.
They got
Charles second in the championship, and Max's move last week ultimately cost them second in the title. So good on Ferrari. Remember after the Australian Grand Prix where we already gave him the championship? But he wound up not winning the championship by the same number of rounds. So
yes.
It was unfortunate how things went for them, but that was entertaining right down to the end. And the other one, I'd like the hot motorsport. Just motorsport. It's hot. I went and did some motorsport on the weekend.
Talk it up. Come on.
It's hot. Well, you can go to the racetalk.com, and there's a story about the Peugeot Club Carnacross that I went and did. And it's basically a lengthy list of excuses. So I've put it all out there and all the things that I stuffed up. So it's all on the website. You can go and read it. But it was like 16 little special stage sort of things, a few motorcanas chucked in there. You just take your road car along, pay $30. You have a Motorsport Australia speed license that you get for $130 a year, and you go motorsporting. And bloody hell, that was good fun. I tell you, and it was a motorcana. Jeez Louise, that was way too much fun. I don't know whether it was just because that was the thing I was competent at, driving around witches' hats in a car park, but that was cool. I finished 16th in the motorcana. And I beat a $200,000 Lotus.
Nice.
In my $12,000 Ford Focus.
Nice. What rub are you running on that? We might need to hit our friends at Michelin up for some good Pilot Sport 4Ss for that to focus it or transform it.
Because I'm going to wear my Pirellis off real quick.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. I know people.
Can I put my Triton in?
Dude, there was a two-door Pajero in there. Of course. And I said to someone, he must have spare turrets at home because he was going so bloody hard. I'd love to find out what his times were, but he was sensational. It was a real mixed bag of whatever you had. There was some absolute rust buckets. There was a Ford Focus that shouldn't have been out there. There was a $200,000 Lotus. And there was BMW M3s and everything in between. So it doesn't matter. You just get out there and have a chop. $30, you can't go wrong.
Fantastic. Good stuff. My knot is the Supercars calendar.
Oh, hang on.
Well, it'll be my final knot for the Supercars calendar. I'm happy that it's finally out, thank goodness. The knot isn't against that. The knot is it just was the most underwhelming the most underwhelming wait for a calendar to ever come out. I've been waiting all this time for this calendar to come out. I thought, well, there's going to be some good stuff. I'm going to get really excited.
It's like we're going to Singapore.
It's just nothing. Here it is. There you go. 12 rounds. We go to the same places we're going to. That's it. That's my final knot on the Supercars calendar, but it had to feature again because it was just very underwhelming.
Okay. No, that's fair. I appreciate that. My knot is somewhat self-indulgent, and for that I apologise. But after what is now approaching 19 years of working full-time in car racing, this weekend will be the first car racing meeting that I miss due to illness. So,
well, that's not confirmed yet. We might still be able to get something up.
I'm not going, mate.
No, you're not going to Phillip Island.
Being in person, I'm not going to be there. It's not.
I'll send the body bag around and we can drag you over. It's fine.
No, I'm sorry. It's personally quite disappointing. 156 one-mate Porsche events have been run since I've been working on Porsche, and this will be the fourth one that I've missed. So, again,
make me cry.
Not a bad strike rate, but anyway, that's the way it is. Our team at Porsche Motorsport will put on a great show regardless, and I would highly encourage everyone to tune in and watch the racing. Or if you're in Victoria, get to Phillip Island because it's a great place to watch racing cars race. Mark Walker will be there, I'm sure, having overcome our small hurdles with accreditation. He will be there and will be taking photos, which you will see on the Race Talk. So we'll still have a presence there. Please go and support local motorsport in Victoria. But that's my knot. I'm very, very disappointed. But unfortunately, I got yelled at by my health professionals for suggesting that I could still get up and go. And I don't like being yelled at. So I decided I couldn't make it work. It's a real shame. I'm very, truly sorry to everyone who I'm letting down by not being there. But that's the way of the world.
I'll send the body bag around. We get you over there. It'll be weekend at Crailsy style. We'll get a team of people just propping you up around the joint. It'll be fantastic. You won't miss it. Commentary might be a bit muted, but we'll make it work. I'll have a knot for a calendar as well. 69 days between Monza and Abu Dhabi for the Formula 2 calendar. Like, that was just way too long.
You literally forgot it was on until I popped up in the group chat and was like, hey, how about this F2 race?
Huh? Well, why? Why would they do that? Didn't they finish a long time ago? So I think that was silly. My other knot is relative to the knot from last week when Max and Lewis came together at the first turn and Max was on the inside and decided not to fire off the racetrack and Lewis clattered into him and Max got a penalty. This time around, the positions were reversed. Lewis was in the inside. Sainz was on the outside. Lewis has just gone, no, you know what? I'm just going to cut the corner here and take the position off you, for which he got no penalty. So, if you're Lewis, you are absolutely kissed by the inconsistency.
He did give it back, though.
He didn't have to, though. The team told him to give it back.
But that was very smart. And if he hadn't have, I'm sure.
No, but the officials already said that there was no penalty. It already flashed up on the screen that there was no penalty.
They did. I think they did the right thing. But they adjudicated that exactly the same as how they adjudicated at Abu Dhabi last year for the same incident.
But it's to the weekend before in the exact same corner type and the exact same situation. Mm. Lewis cut the corner, made a position, and didn't get penalised.
Track versus track, it was the same. But, yeah, I don't disagree with you.
All right, settle down, you two. Settle down.
I don't care, really.
This is all I've got.
Quick, not, yeah.
Let's let you go back to penicillin and whatever you, you're taking to fix you up. Good to see you, mate. Please get well. We'll talk again next week.
Yep, cool. Adelaide 500 preview.
Yes, looking forward to that. It's going to be massive. Mark Walker, have a great weekend in Phillip Island.
Phillip Island and Geelong Revival.
Ooh, yeah, okay.
Double motorsport dose this weekend for Melbourne people.
How have you engineered that with the family? I'm impressed.
There's 2 days in a weekend, Richard. The first day, it's a boys' day out for myself and a three-year-old. So that's our standard Saturday at Phillip Island. Then Sunday, I'm loading the family onto a boat to send them down to Geelong. They're going to have a lovely lunch at the fish restaurant, and I'm going to get some photos for the race.
Nice.
Outstanding.
Great work.
Commitment.
So you're taking the boat from Sorrento across to?
No, down Docklands.
Oh, yeah, cool. Okay.
It's 20% off if you're a fan of the Geelong Sprint. Good deal. So if you're a punter, they've got all sorts of accommodation. Like, it's a pretty well-organized sort of a deal. Like, it's the Gold Coast Indy of Geelong. And they've got all accommodation packages and tour packages and all sorts of things going on. So, good thing.
All right, well, enjoy that. I'm heading up to the Murray to play some golf for a couple of days.
How is that going to work? I'm sorry. Are you aware
there's one golf course that isn't underwater, Tokemoor. It's up a bit higher.
Okay.
It's not going to be pleasant, dude.
It's not going to be a fucking coral.
The water obstacles will play a big role. I don't know how golf works.
No, apparently Tokemoor, totally playable.
Okay.
So, that's where we're going.
Okay.
I want the photo when you bogged knee deep.
I promise you I will. Please. I promise you I will. Good luck. Catch you next week, folks. Catch you guys next week. Catch everyone next week right here on The Grid.